The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Welcome to another episode of the Conversations Brewing Podcast with your hosts, Divya and Ravisha, two coffee-loving best friends who dive into weekly conversations on wellness, culture, and growing into your authentic self.
As two healthcare professionals, children of immigrants, and humans always striving to learn more, they bring their unique complexities of their wellness journeys into this podcast space by sharing their stories and featuring other like-minded experts in the field.
Always with a cup of coffee in hand, humor, and never-ending authenticity, dive in with the two of them as they brew the kind of conversations that we don't have enough of, but that matter the most.
The most important relationship you have is a relationship with yourself. Because no matter what happens, you will always be with yourself. You need to be able to rely on yourself.
Hi, Ravisha. Happy Friday.
Hi. I'm laughing because this is literally our seventh or eighth time trying to get this episode started.
I think it's seriously eighth time. We just could not get ourselves to start the episode in a way we both honestly liked. We were being very self-critical in the beginning, and this one we just had to go with.
I know, we had a comment made to us that we saw earlier this week just about how we talk, and real talk, I mean, it got to both of us.
Yeah.
And we kind of became very self-critical of one, like, of ourselves, and felt kind of down about it, I'm not gonna lie. And yeah. So when we were about to start recording this, like, each time both of us got a little nervous and felt like we couldn't form sentences.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was not, exactly what Ravisha said. I was not sure how to start. And anytime I started, I would pause and be like, crap, oh, that didn't sound good. And honestly, comments can get to you. At the same time, we love getting feedback, and I think feedback is important. So we're not upset that someone gave us feedback. We are more just like any natural human being is. We can get hard on ourselves. We can get harsh and overthink. So that's kind of what had been coming up for us today. And I guess that's why we recorded this eight times.
Yeah. And going off of what Divya said, we are so open to receiving any kind of feedback. So it's not like you can't say anything to us, but when you first read something like that, you're almost like, oh man, that like really puts me down. And I think all week we both were kind of like bringing it up to one another. And just like
funny ways too. We were sending each other memes that were just like self-deprecating a bit, but in a jokey way.
Yeah.
This is us.
And like
rooted in us being sad.
Yeah, like we're like sad but also laughing about it. And then now when it's like time to perform, we're like all nervous and don't know how to do it anymore. Like we haven't done like, I don't know, over like 25 episodes at this point. But that's just us being real with you guys and letting you know that we're trying. Like every time we record an episode, we are always trying to improve. And I know we're not perfect. And so.
And putting yourself out there is really scary. I think it's so cool because the amount of feedback, I do want to also say on the other side, the amount of positive feedback we've got from our podcast has been unbelievable. So amazing. So we are just beyond grateful for everyone. But at the same time, it does feel scary whenever we get on and record because we know that people are going to be listening. And even if it's one person, 100 people, that's another person that's not me and Ravisha who is, it's another opinion. And so we don't put ourselves out there and be vulnerable. And most of us don't because we're scared of opinions. And me and Ravisha had been that way for a long time, which is why we didn't start the podcast when we wanted to. We wanted to start it. We've had this idea, like I've mentioned before, for so long, and we didn't do it because we were scared. And so I just want to say that we're so grateful for everyone's positive feedback, but it's just natural that when you receive more critical feedback that you get in your head. And so that definitely happened to us this week.
Yeah. And I'm glad we just talked about this right now, like right off the bat of us recording, because now I feel a lot more calm going into like our topic and what we're gonna talk about today. I'm not gonna
We were
lie.
so nervous starting.
The nerves were real. It was almost
They were
like we were
so real.
recording our first episode all over again.
I honestly felt like it was worse. I could not start properly. I had said the most weird things. I don't know why I was starting the episode. I started one of our recordings was how I start a session, and I don't know why I did that. It was like, hi, how are you doing? Or how are you doing, Mike?
Yeah.
And it was so odd, and I was thinking like, oh my gosh, what is getting into me? So with that, I'm glad we were honest and just said that off the bat, because now, I
Me
don't know,
too.
it might come up, or if you hear any difference in this episode, honestly, people probably won't. It's just gonna be in our own head, but
And
it's your.
actually, like this kind of goes into like the topic a little bit today too. We're gonna talk about self-abandonment and what that means and how to kind of get yourself out of self-abandoning or how to stop self-abandoning. Oh my gosh, see, I
Okay,
am
one, two, three, go.
how to stop with self-abandonment
That was a
and
tongue twister.
tips and tricks. Yeah. Divya brought this topic to my attention today, so we both read on it, and it's really interesting how so many of us kind of partake in self-abandonment. Obviously, there is like a scale of like how extreme it is for some people versus others, but we're just going to talk a little bit about that today. So, yeah, I'm excited about this one.
Yeah, I have personally struggled with self-abandonment, but I also see it being a really common theme that a lot of people talk about in therapy. So I think that this will be something that people will resonate with because it is a real struggle, but also one that we don't always have a word to. Like, there's not a phrase
Yeah.
that we know the experience and we know how it makes us feel, but we don't know what is that called.
Exactly. And so, to simply define what is self-abandonment, it is like a rejection of your own thoughts. So, ignoring our need for self-soothing by asking someone else to assume that responsibility. And I'm sure as the minute I said that definition, a lot of you can resonate with that a little bit, because in one way or another, sometimes we do depend on other people to kind of fulfill our happiness, our own happiness that we're always seeking, and we're not putting ourselves first and listening to our emotions all the time.
Yeah, when we have trouble trusting ourselves and don't feel that we can show all parts of ourselves, that maybe people will judge us, or that we don't even like certain parts of ourselves, so we discount the positive and negative parts of ourselves. So that's when we, simply put, we abandon ourselves. We think about how other people can abandon us. I know for me, I used to be so scared of people abandoning me in relationships that I almost would do whatever I could do to keep someone with me. But now, the older I've gotten and reflected on it, it makes me realize that in those kind of relationships, I was actually abandoning myself. That maybe that person wasn't abandoning me, but there was abandonment happening, and that was with myself.
Yeah, it's definitely a learned behavior, and a lot of the articles we read state that it's as children, it's kind of a learned behavior because society, like in society as well, like I think not up until recently, we haven't really focused a lot about our own feelings and emotions and how to process that. And so as a kid, it's really important to kind of learn those things on feeling the emotions that you're feeling and someone validating you that saying that that's okay. That's how you feel. Because I remember as a kid, particularly, I was like patted on the back for like getting over things c quickly. For example, if I was upset about something, but quickly got over it, like my parents would give me like positive reinforcement and be like, see, you're fine, you're okay. And then I would be able to move on. And for a long time, I thought that was a really good trait to have. But now, as an adult, I'm learning that I need to feel a lot of my emotions a little bit more and take a second to read my body and how I'm feeling. And that's how I'm figuring out how not to like self-abandon myself.
Yeah, because we are so conditioned to do it, and we also see other people do it all the time. Especially, I'll say for me, and I know for us because we've both talked about this experience, but culturally we see it with self-sacrifice. And we also have these gender norms as being a woman that we have to be sacrificial and we have to take care of people. And that just innately puts your needs aside. And so we end up abandoning ourselves while thinking it's a good thing because we're not abandoning other people. But I think that's a really big myth about self-abandonment, is that if we abandon ourselves, other people, we won't lose other people. People will stay in a relationship with us if we do everything they want us to do.
Correct. Yeah.
That doesn't equal people staying in relationships. People don't think that, wow, I want to stay in this relationship with them because they're constantly doing everything I want. They think, oh, I want to be in a relationship with them because I feel good around them or I feel connected to them. But for me, a lot of my life, I would think that people were in a relationship with me because of all these things I did for them.
Yeah. And it's like that codependent relationship, right? When you're constantly seeking the approval of the person that you're with by doing things that they want, and in the process of that you're losing yourself and not listening to like your own like gut instinct, and you know, you're suppressing your own feelings for that other person. So when you become so codependent, you kind of lose trace of who you are, which then does not mean like a successful relationship will ensue.
Exactly. Because relationships are, there's that reciprocity and there's that back and forth, but it doesn't have to be that we sacrifice to have good relationships. We can care for ourselves and care for other people.
Yeah.
So with that being said, what would you say that were learned messages that you had around self-abandonment? I know you shared with feeling like, you know, being patted on the back for getting over things quick, but as you're an adult and reflecting on this concept, what are other areas where you've noticed it show up or maybe be reinforced?
I think like self-criticism and judgment is like a big one that I see myself like falling into a lot as an adult. I think we all know this, like we judge ourselves the most out of anyone else around us. And so I feel like I'm always criticizing myself on certain things and like not giving myself enough compassion for how things are going.
Yeah, definitely the perfectionism, because when we're trying to be perfect, we're not honoring our own needs.
Yeah,
especially when we hyperfixate on it and focus on it, because we think that this one thing that will really give us fulfillment or joy or, you know, whatever the case is, it's different with each person. But then it leads to us, it impacts everything, right? It impacts how we interact when we abandon ourselves with it impacts our self-esteem too, because we abandon ourselves because we feel that we're not worthy of, you know, attending to our needs. And so when we don't feel that and we have negative or low self-esteem, then it also impacts how we show up in general in our relationships.
Yeah. How do you feel like there are some traits of self-abandonment that you deal with on a daily basis?
I would say there's quite a few that I've had to work through. I will say from the bigger scheme, I'll like start on a bigger scheme and break it down into just more micro levels. I would say overall, culturally, I definitely feel it with the South Asian culture and what my experience has been around self-sacrifice and doing what is best for your family, what is best for others, just that typical statement of what will people think that is said so often, that perpetuates self-abandonment because we're thinking about what will other people think, what will other people want. And that doesn't mean that we should not care about what other people think and want. Of course, we should care about other people's needs, but not in a way that it is abandoning your own values or your own needs. So I will say from that larger scale level that under that, as being a woman, that ends up coming up with your own needs and almost feeling that you have to abandon your needs to feel quote unquote like worth it in a position, I would say. I know a lot of women say that they feel they have to work extra hard to prove they're deserving of a position or they're deserving of a title in ways that they don't feel their male counterparts have to work. And again, I'm speaking on this in a general sense, but I think when we're feeling like we need to run a million miles an hour, we have to really prove ourselves, especially if you're in a male-dominated field. I'm not, but I'm just saying in general for a lot of women, then you end up really pushing yourself and neglecting your own needs. So I would say as a woman, that happens too. And then also self-criticism and judgment for many people in a sense of being even like a mom or a wife and playing a role in a family that you have to sacrifice everything for either your partner or your child. And those are these like societal pressures. And then I will say in a role as being a therapist, I think that there can be a lot of self-abandonment because therapists are conditioned of like, I actually was on a call with a nurse practitioner today, and they had said to me that you should take on any patient because anyone who's in need of psychological care, they're a patient for you and you should take anyone on. It doesn't really matter how long you see them, meaning time, how what your caseload is. And that is a message that is very ingrained in the field of psychology, is you just do everything for all your patients. And I believe that when you need boundaries around treatment, but also if I'm burnt out as a therapist, I'm really not serving my clients. It's not good for them. And so I really try to keep boundaries with the patients I do see because I really care about their treatment and I care about their care. But there is this message in the field of abandoning yourself and your values and your boundaries and everything just to be quote unquote a helper and, you know, fixing things for people. But you know, I know you can't fix anything for people, but I'm just saying. So that was a long-winded way of three different facets of my life that I feel I have these messages around self-abandonment that I've had to challenge. There's my TED talk. I'm sorry.
No, I love that because I just wanted to follow up with what did you respond to the nurse practitioner? Like, I just want to know because when you're getting that message being said to you, what are you supposed to say?
Well, thankfully, it's there's the one thankfully and also unfortunately, it's not the first time I've received that message. A lot of clinicians function that way. They have caseloads of, I've heard some people have caseloads of over 50 people. I'm like, for 50 people in a week for 45-minute sessions. And let's say what this person does, and he said, you know, some people need more care. They need more support before over 45 or 50 minutes. So I'll just give them extra time. And, you know, there's only so much of that you can do because then your next patient is running late and then you give them extra time and it just gets, in my mind, it gets chaotic. But
yeah,
I just said that everyone practices differently. And with my practice and my limitations that I currently have, this is what I'm going to need to offer. And if this current patient that you're trying to refer to me will need more than that, then perhaps I'm going to need to give a referral and it's not a good fit.
Love that answer. You're creating a boundary, like what you need to.
And it's not fair to other people too, right?
It's not.
I don't think I'd really take it seriously with if there's someone who's under my care, I'm going to give them my all in the treatment. And so I'm not going to that means setting boundaries, and I don't want to have to feel like I'm abandoning myself because if I am, then I'm getting burnt out and then they're not getting the proper care. So it just creates a cycle.
Right. And also this is you working on your self-abandonment because if you just said, yeah, okay, you're right, I'll do that to that nurse practitioner, what you're doing then is like repressing like how you're feeling inside and how much you can actually handle, which will then the effect of that will then be like, you're burnt out. You're not able to then give your other patients as much time that they need. And then as a clinician, you just feel like you're not doing your best.
Exactly.
Like there's like the cause and effect of it is like really dramatic, if you like can say, right? Because like Divya's saying, like this shows up in different aspects of our life. Like when we are self-abandoning ourselves, like there's other pillars that come down with it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we talk about this a lot as well. Like, you know, when you're not holding true to like core values and what you believe in, or like doing things because other people expect you to do them, you're not being true to yourself. And there's this quote from one of the articles we read, and we can also link it, but it really stuck with me when I read it. But it said, the most important relationship you have is a relationship with yourself, because no matter what happens, you will always be with yourself. You need to be able to rely on yourself. I feel like that's so easily forgotten because like I feel like we never put ourselves first.
Exactly. We don't put ourselves first because we are so concerned about everyone else. But at the same time, like you said, with this cause and effect, it creates a cycle. Because if we're not putting ourselves first and we're not taking care of our own needs, how can we show up for those around us? Or we're showing up with a place of resentment. Like we've both talked about people pleasers. And when we're people pleasing and showing up for people, we end up getting annoyed. Everyone does. Like, people pleasing and resentment is such a huge thing together that I think in relationships that would you rather sacrifice everything for a person or a friendship or whatever it may be, or would you and feel resentful, or will you set boundaries and not feel resentful? And I think in the long term of the relationship, sure, short term, if you set those boundaries for your self preservation, so you're not abandoning yourself, someone might be upset and they'll be like, why did you do that? Or they'll have a reaction, but long term, they'll feel more connected to you in the relationship because you're not resentful with them. But if you are just keep abandoning yourself, then you're going to long-term hurt the relationship.
Right. And think about why sometimes certain relationships like don't end up working right long-term, because after a while of like repressing who you really are and not honoring your needs, like Divya said, the resentment just builds up so much that you end up not wanting to be with that person because you were never true to yourself. And I know sometimes people like seek other like friendships or like relationships because they're wanting to be quote unquote happy, because I think that one person will like bring out that happiness. But again, like, no one else is the cause of your happiness. You are the cause of your happiness.
Yeah, 100%. We can't. And there are so many times that we say, oh, this person, like, I'm not happy because this person's not doing X, Y, Z. It's not their responsibility to make you happy, just as it's not your, well, it's not their, it's, but vice versa, right? Like, it's not your responsibility to make them happy. I think when we abandon ourselves because we also place this responsibility on ourselves, that's really not ours. We don't need to be responsible for so many things we think we're responsible for. And then we abandon ourselves, and it just keeps, the way the more I'm thinking about it, it really does, like you said, with the cause and effect, just create a cycle. And I think so many of us get really looped into the cycle, and it just, the cycle becomes almost part of our being that we don't even know how to get out of it.
Yeah. There's so many ways where you can just lose who you are as a person in so many different kind of situations. Like, I'm trying to think of as many different types of situations as I can right now, like, so we can like discuss that and our listeners can resonate, you know, like, especially like one that's really sticking out to me because you just mentioned it is like just like work situations, like work relationships as well. Sometimes we like put it all on the line for our job, which I understand that we all need to do, but then I'm sure we all have seen that quote that if you're easily replaceable, like, yeah, someone easily can like take your job or like do your role for you. So what's the point of giving yourself 120% when like you're so replaceable to like, yeah, that entity?
Exactly.
We don't take days for ourselves because we're like, oh no, I have to finish this up for work. Like, it's like, it has to happen. And I do understand that there are deadlines and there's things that need to get done. But if there's a day where you're feeling so mentally exhausted and drained that you feel like you can't even like be there and focus, shouldn't you feel free to take that day easily and be like, no, I need to do this for myself?
Exactly. Yeah. And so with that, when we start to challenge that self-talk around what our quote unquote duties are to other people, what are ways that for you, when you've noticed it, you've noticed patterns of self-abandonment, what are steps that you have taken to try to combat that?
I think the first like step really is to start identifying your feelings and your emotions. Like, the big thing about self-abandonment is that you are like shoving away your own feelings and you're kind of like putting that all, you know, on the back burner so you can do what you need to do in the present moment. And so then when that becomes like a cycle, you start losing sight of like how you actually feel about things. Mm-hmm. And so to kind of circle back and like start from the beginning, the most important step is to feel your feelings.
Mm-hmm. And to really just like let them be without trying to make them go away.
Yeah. Like, if you're upset, okay, you're upset. Why are you upset? Okay, this upset you. Okay, what do you think is a solution, if there is one? Or is there a way you can have a conversation with someone or even with yourself about this feeling that you're having? And at the same time, like, what's happening? Are, like, do you feel like what your body is telling you, you know, like, are there certain things that are happening? Like, I don't know, like tensing your jaw is like a lot that's common for people, even for myself. Or like, are you getting like, you know, like biological things as well that like associate with your emotions?
Yeah, exactly. And starting to you identify, because you can't identify it and talk to other people about it until we're able to really understand. And also not shoulding yourself. I think that's the biggest thing so many people do. I definitely do that a lot of, oh, I shouldn't feel this way. Yeah. I shouldn't feel that way. You feel that way. That's the plain and bottom line, is you feel the way you do. And so shoulding yourself is not going to make the emotion change. So you might as well just accept it.
When you brought that up, I just remembered how I used to say that a lot. Like when I would be like venting to you, I'd be like, I know I shouldn't be feeling this way, but this is how I'm feeling. And even though it's time to change that narrative, it should really be like, I am feeling this way.
Yeah.
And that's it. Like,
I am feeling this way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For a long time, I would just be like, I know I'm feeling this way right now, but like, it's fine. It'll pass. It'll be gone soon.
It'll be fine. We'll get over it.
Yeah. Everything's fine.
And that's what hurts us when we do that. We think that, yeah, oh, I'm being chill, or I'm being easygoing, when honestly it bothers me more, or I not bothers me. I feel like it's less easygoing when someone is like that. I would much rather them just be straight and upfront with what they're feeling, because otherwise it has me playing the guessing game, right? So it's more actually helpful to just be honest with people about what's going on.
Yeah, like if you're not honoring your own needs and wants in a certain situation, like how are you ever going to figure out like what works for you and what doesn't? Like what are the things that, like, I don't know, again, contribute to your happiness?
Exactly. Like you can't. It's so hard.
Yeah, and that's why we bring up the thing about too, like not depending on like significant others or like other friends or other people in your life for those emotions, because to be honest, you're then always going to be let down.
Yeah,
that's so much pressure.
Yeah, and that puts so much on other people too. Like, it's not fair to have another person be responsible for your emotions.
Yeah, because like perspective wise, that other person on the other side of the conversation, it's also working on themselves to attain their own happiness. So
everyone's working on this.
I know. And
we're all trying to figure it out.
It's crazy because when you kind of like peel back some of the layers about this stuff, or not this stuff, but like things like self-abandonment, there's just so many layers to it and so many ways that we partake in self-abandonment that we didn't even realize. Like one of the things I want to even pull up was the Instagram post that you shared with me, Divya. And like one of the, like number one, it's saying yes when you want to say no. And think about how many times like you say yes to a friend, a colleague, or anyone to something when you really truly want it to be like, no, I don't want to do this.
Yeah. But we force ourselves to be like, oh, okay, fine, I'll do it.
When And like sometimes
say no.
Yeah. Like sometimes like you need to say yes, right? If you're like constantly the person that's saying no. But then like, think about if you're the person that's saying yes to everything and everyone all the time.
I'll be exhausted.
Yeah.
When will you have time for anything?
Yeah. When will you have time to like take a bit break for yourself? Yeah.
Exactly. And again, we're so socialized to be a yes person that if I do this and I do that, that makes me good. I'll make people happy. But again, people would probably rather you say no than say yes and continuously half-ass it.
Yeah.
What do you think are some barriers to self-abandonment, or why, or not, for barriers to combating self-abandonment, if that question makes sense? Like, why do people not take the steps to do it?
Oh, well, I think half the time they don't even realize that they're doing it.
Yeah.
I mean, not until I started therapy, I did not know I was like partaking in some kind of self-abandonment. Like,
yeah.
I said, I always thought I was fine. I'm chill.
I know, everyone's like, I'm fine. I'm just going to try to go to therapy just because, I don't know, we'll see. And then after it's like, oh my gosh, I do this and I do that. But yeah, many of us don't know what's happening. And they don't, so then you don't even know what you can do about it. And also, it's scary to change a narrative when we're used to being maybe like the yes person or the quote unquote good girl. Or, you know, for me, that was one of my hardest things, that I so much tried to be good and nice and people like me, that it was terrifying to face the reality that someone might not like me because I'm taking these stands for myself, or that people can have an opinion that isn't the most positive about me. And so having to cope with that is why I didn't do it. So I think that's definitely a big barrier, is it's scary to change anything, even if that change is good.
Yeah, and you're not alone in that either. Like, even like for me as well, like quote unquote good girl. And we have an episode about this too. But like, it's just like sometimes when you want to be liked and just accepted, you throw everything else out of the way and you're like, okay, what can I do to be that person? And I'm just like, I'm just gonna be myself. And stay true to what my values and things that are important to me, and that's who I'm gonna be now. And like, it's not like a thing that just like shifts overnight. There's like there's so many ways that like I'm kind of shifting that narrative every day.
Yeah, because it doesn't happen overnight. And if, I mean, obviously, if only it could happen overnight, but it's something that we have to continuously work on. And it's okay to keep working on it.
Yeah. Because I'm sure you talk about this a lot with your clients, and like, what is your like number one advice, or like, what if someone is like experiencing self-abandonment, like, what do you tell your clients?
Well, we usually reflect on where they feel the urge the most with self-abandonment and the situations, whether it's at work or it's in a certain friendship or it's in their romantic relationship. And when people have fears around setting boundaries or putting themselves first or changing a narrative, and they get really, and they do it and someone's really upset at them, their reaction is something that's really important to keep in mind. The people who benefited from you being self-abandoning are the people who are going to be the most resistant to you changing. And so it's not really about, oh, that's bad. I'm changing because they're mad at me. Those are actually the people that you should, I hate saying should, but that those boundaries are going to be the most necessary with. And that can empower people to change the narrative. So I would definitely say that people's reactions and responses are very telling.
Wow, I love that response. I never think about people's react, like I didn't even think about someone, the way someone else reacts and how that like is telling of itself.
Oh yeah, it's so telling because, I mean, of course, people are gonna have some kind of a reaction, and it might be a surprise because if you're changing anything, they're gonna have a reaction. But is that reaction trying to guilt trip you? Is that reaction pushing against your boundaries? Is that reaction making it about themselves? Like those kind of messages can be really telling.
Yeah,
Yeah.
so true.
This has a lot for me to even reflect on. I've thought a lot about self-abandonment on my like as one, because it comes up in therapy all the time and with my own therapy. But even just talking about it with this episode gives me so much to continue to think about. And I hope for all of you, it does the same.
Yeah, me too. We said there's just so different phrases and words and everything that goes into self-abandonment that we like don't even realize.
Yeah.
And you know, we are gonna like link up the articles that we've mentioned as well if you guys want to read about it more.
All right, everyone. So I hope that you all got something from this episode, even if it's one thing to just think about and for you to reflect on. And just a reminder that your needs matter. And as we're closing up the episode, I'm just feeling really grateful that we did share our experience. And now it's funny because I didn't even think about that comment after when we got
I
into it. In the
know.
first maybe 5 minutes, I was still thinking about it. But
Yeah.
as we got through the episode, I wasn't thinking about it as much. So it's another reminder to really just push through. We're gonna have uncomfortable feelings. We're gonna have doubts or insecurities, but that is just a feeling. Every feeling is fleeting. So to continue doing what you're doing, that will make you happy, and the feelings will come and go.
Exactly. It's so hard doing this and putting yourselves out there.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm just so appreciative that like I said, it's like And everyone says this. It's like all the positive comments go out the door as soon as you get like one like negative thing.
It makes it tough.
And that's all you fixate on. And that's what Divya and I did all week. But we're good. I'm glad. Yeah, I'm glad we shared that too with you all, like how we were feeling right before recording. Because if you like listen to some of our takes, it was bad. Like we were just like, it was cringe, but I'm glad we got over the hump and we're back.
All worked out. We're all good.
Yeah.
All right, everyone. Well, we'll see you for our next episode, and thank you again for listening.
Thanks, guys. Bye.
Thank you for tuning into another episode of Conversations Brewing. We hope you take some moments to reflect on our episode with some coffee in hand. New episodes of Conversations Brewing come out on Tuesdays.
We'd love to hear from you about what resonated with you and what you want to hear more about. So let us know on Instagram at our account at Conversations Brewing. If this episode was helpful, please leave us a 5-star review wherever you listen to your podcast and continue to tune in weekly.
We so appreciate your support and we'll brew some conversations with you next week.
Everyone is talking about magnesium. It's all you hear about. But why? What do we know about magnesium? Well, magnesium is the number one mineral that 75% of Americans are deficient in. If you are a woman over 35, magnesium will help you rediscover balance, energy, and vitality. Magnesium supports more than 300 enzymatic reactions in your body, including those involved in hormonal balance. From functional medicine doctors to mental well-being and female hormone experts, we all know that magnesium is the one mineral to improve all aspects of well-being and health. But which one? Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers. The trusted choice recommended by leading experts, with 7 best-absorbed forms of magnesium to ensure your body receives the support it needs for overall well-being. Go to bioptimizers.com/balance today and use code BALANCE10 for 10% off. Support your journey to wellness at bioptimizers.com/balance. Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, your foundation to optimal health and vitality.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.